Good morning. Oh, we can do better than that. You had your breakfast, didn't you? Good morning.
Good morning.
Great. Wonderful. I did not know that Craig was out for this Sunday, so we can have a party, right? Well, we can have some fun. When the cat's away, the mice play. And I can say some things and get away with it because he's not here. Pastor Craig is a very fine teacher. Actually, not much credit is given to this man. I've learned so much from him. I've got so much from my interaction with him. I know him for the last 25 years or so, around that time. So we've been friends from then, and his incredible insight in the Word of God is amazing. And in one way, I'm relieved he's not here because he will always find some fault in what I say. Yes, I've been a missionary with Youth with a Mission for 40 years, and I've had some really wonderful time and journey. And so I thought I'll share something from there. And last night I had a very, very late night. I had a wedding to perform and came back home. It was right in the thick of rain from Milwaukee. I was coming. And I just went to bed. I said, I'll just stay up and finalize a little things here and there to speak to you. And I didn't do that. I just went to sleep. And I got up late. It was my sweet wife. She said, aren't you speaking today? I said, speaking where? I already did that last night. So she said, New Crossings. And then I got out, had a quick shower, and then I started to sit down and say, Lord, is this the message? And then he said, no, you don't want to do this. And so I'm speaking from a message that I had spoken many years ago, maybe two decades ago, and I just felt like an impression from the Lord to do this. So I'm going to title this, Escaping from the Spirit of Contention. We live in a very contentious world, and one of the strategies of the enemy to undermine the purposes of God and church, and we are the church, is to release the spirit of contention. I don't know about you, but there are times when you come into the parking lot and it's almost as though you have a tattoo on your forehead that says, pick on me. Have you had those people, times where we are in the Walmart and somebody is really upset with you because you parked your car slightly off base to the real parallel lines? Have you ever had that when people look at you like this, like, what are you doing? And then they begin to go into other areas of life, and that can enter in, even into our families. Why is my wife always behind me like this? Oh, look at him. He doesn't even care. We get, you know, the millennials and the Gen Z people use a word annoying. Have you ever heard of them say, you annoy me, which means you're triggering me into a contention that you want to prove a point, you know, just to say you're right, I'm wrong, or I'm right, you're wrong. And we go with that. And I'll expand that a little bit more as we keep speaking. Why is this contentious spirit denying us from the fullness of what God has for us? Somebody listening to me. Every single one of us have experienced this and are experiencing and will experience. Are you with me? Amen? And if it comes into church, it's vicious. Can you imagine we are supposed to be Christians? We should be getting along. But every day the church is splitting. Contention. you are wrong, my theology is correct, and all of that stuff. And where does church go for proving yourself right? The Bible. You go to the word. My scripture says this, so you're wrong. I'm right. And yeah, it's a scripture in isolation. You could prove yourself. My spiritual father used to say this to me. He said, Sam, do you want to be right or reconciled? We can score points. And then we can go back to our blue corner and red corner. And again, some trigger comes with the bell. And then you come with your boxing gloves on. And then you score a point and say, see, I'm right. Is that how we should be? No. God's called us to have a reconciled relationship with one another. I mean, you don't have to be lovey-dovey with them, but at least smile. You know what I mean? At least be nice. I mean, not artificial smiles like you get in a Target checkout counter. How was your day? Did you find everything fine? Did you find everything you need? I mean, scripted. Everything is so scripted and so nice. So yes, thank you. So now I stopped saying, yes, thank you. I said, as always. And just leave it like that. It's artificial. You can see through when people are really nice to you or not. Is somebody listening to me? That person is there just because they need the dollars. And they have to do what they have to do. They're not really wanting to be so nice to you. And that happens in church too. And especially some churches that have many services. Oh dear, why did I come to this service? I have to see him. Oh man, I see that woman again in her purple dress. What's about purple dress? I don't know. I mean, these things keep going. I don't know whether you come to a small church like this, but with big hearts. The church here has a very big heart, so it's nothing to do with the small or big. But when you come here, you still think, really now, I have to do this after the service with them? Or say hello just for that? Or are we really reconciled? Is somebody listening to me? Amen? Now, it's not that I'm prophetic. I'm not saying that this happens, but it's a possibility. It's a very high possibility. So let's go to scripture and read from Genesis chapter 26. And just to give you an overview, here is Isaac having a very similar situation that Abraham, his father, went through. Very similar condition and circumstance. And so here, Isaac is in a foreign country at this moment. And he's doing well. He is actually doing very well. He is in the 1% group really, really well. Are you with me? And then a famine comes into this country. I mean, it was so severe that people were selling their property for less than half price or maybe even lower than that and moving away from the place. It is in that situation Isaac came into a decision, to make a decision, and that's where we pick this up from, Genesis 26. There was a famine in the land besides the first famine that there was in the days of Abraham, and Isaac went to Abimelech, the king of Philistines in Gerar. Then the Lord appeared to him and said, do not go to Egypt. Live in the land which I tell you. There is nothing wrong in making plans to leave. There are times in your life and in my life where we have seasons of dryness, spiritual dryness, of financial dryness, this dryness, that dryness, all kinds of dryness. It comes. It is something that we don't predict or it comes unplanned in our lives. Are you with me? Sometimes you're here worshiping and then their worship team is really into worship and then you are mouthing the words, you're maybe even doing some gyrations along, but your heart is far from the connecting of the words that you sing. Are you listening to me? Sometimes you're not really there. I mean, you are singing, you are here. It's not that you're pretending either, just to look nice to somebody else so that somebody will say, wow, what an angel you are. But that's not why you're here. You're here, you want to really genuinely worship, but your heart is far from that kind of worship. But there are seasons when you're really into it, right? You're crying, you're on your knees or prostrating, it depends which church you're going to, or you're running around the church because God's done something for you. Is somebody listening to me? Amen? But there are seasons of dryness. In that season of dryness, the temptation is to leave to somewhere there is rain, somewhere there is something flourishing and nourishing. Is somebody listening to me? Amen? And so Egypt at that point of time was a superpower country. I mean, it was a land of abundance. Absolute abundance. Tremendous abundance. So people were thinking of going there, just like people from outside of U.S. coming into the U.S. for a better life. Is somebody listening to me? And so here was Isaac in the similar situation, thinking maybe I should go to Egypt and start life with what we have already. He's already rich at that time. Are you with me? So he said, let's go. And he was about to give the word to his community, pack up, guys, let's all leave. I mean, leave means his whole community goes with him. And at that moment, the Lord says, stay. Now, sometimes you and I get prophetic words to do the exact opposite that is not corresponding to the current reality. Are you with me? Sometimes you get the word saying, do this, and you're thinking, that can't be God. Because things are not really equal to the words that come to us. Some of us even dismiss it because we think that can't be God because it's the reality is like this. God would always want to give us good. Yes, that is true. That is very true. But we are not God, you see. We think we can think better than God because sometimes that's how we even pray. Oh God, if only you would give me $1 million, I would change this nation. Have you ever prayed? Of course, maybe not with that kind of exaggeration, but you do say, if only I got this, I'm a YWAMer. And sometimes we are known as youth without any money, you know. So we pray into situations saying, oh God, give me this. If I only had this, I would go and destroy the devil. Seriously, I've prayed such prayers. Not knowing that God has better ideas than me. Amen? You see, God does not have any problems with your problems. He has problems with your solutions. Are you with me? Amen? Have you ever heard of people praying, oh God, just break Mrs. Jacob's legs, Lord, so that when we go to the hospital, we can lay our hands and you do a miracle, God, and then she will know you are God and she will receive you in your heart, in her heart. We say that. Oh God, put a tennis ball in my wife's mouth, God, please. I mean, we pray such prayers. Oh God, just whack my boss somehow, God. He is so mean to me. Sometimes we pray prayers for who are over us, right? Hello? Are you with me? Are you listening to me? Come on now. We pray prayers advising God how to solve our problems. What God says, please, just tell me your problem and I'll take care of it, but not your solution because that's not the answer. Amen? 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 How many times do we pray solutions and not the problems? God only wants to say, okay, I got this. I'll do this. I will come through for you. But then, no, we have to tell God and advise him of how things should be arranged and rearranged and move people out from there and bring people from somewhere else. All kinds of stuff that we pray. No, we just simply have to understand the word of God is in season always, whether it's in famine or whether it's when everything's going fine for you. Somebody listening to me. It's in that season, he says, stay. In famine. And he's seeing it. He is noticing that his economy, his wealth is evaporating faster than he could even keep it. Is somebody listening? Because he's got a huge community to care for. At that time, it's possible that he had over 600 or 700 people that he had to feed. It is possible. Some theologians say he may have had even 1,500 people. Never mind what he had, but he had a lot of people. Y'all with me? And it's going. So now, something happens here. And it's very interesting in this chapter. He is actually a businessman. He's a tradesman. He does a lot of trading. But now God changes his occupation to be an agriculturist. Can you imagine that? He had a sack of seeds and he says, well, I'm going to do this. And he's sowing when? In famine. Hello? I mean, if you read that chapter, you'll see it. He is sowing in famine land. Is somebody listening to me? That is countercultural to any farmer. So what are you thinking, man? Hello? And God blesses it. And not only blesses it, it just goes over and beyond and beyond and beyond, with which he became extremely rich. And when he became extremely rich, the king. Can you imagine the king coming to him and saying, you have become more powerful than us. Leave. This is the king. When was the last time when the governor came to you and said, oh, you're doing way better than the economy of Wisconsin. You better leave. Leave the country. I don't want Michigan to be better than us because if you're taking all your wealth away, are you with me? Or Illinois for that matter. We're always contending with the Bears, right? Are you with me? Hello. So we don't want that to happen. So just leave. We don't want you to. Actually, the scripture says, and the Lord, let me read that. Let's see where it is. Yeah, verse 12. Then Isaac sowed in that land and reaped in the same year 100-fold, and the Lord blessed him. And verse 13 says this many times. The man began to prosper. And continued prospering, and he became very prosperous. Can you imagine in the same verse the word prosper appears? I mean, they can't tell enough of how rich he became. And for he had possessions of flocks and possessions of herds and a great number of servants, so the Philistines envied him. Now, at that time, the king comes to him and says, and Abimelech comes to Isaac and says, go away from us, for you have become much mightier than we. I'm not going to talk about prosperity. Gospel has got very thin ice theology to support it. But there is something that prosperity does. And that is, it does cause the local authorities to take notice of you. And they want to know how you did it or what you did about it, what you did to become that. Now, in this today's time, prosperity is something more closer to what John would say in the third or fourth epistle of John. He says that you may prosper above all things in what? In everything, spiritually, emotionally, physically, and even materially, all together. It's one package. It's not just only material. Is somebody listening to me? Amen? So You would know such people amongst you, for they will always have a word in season. They're very rich in what God has done for them. Amen? Amen? You could say amen. It's okay. Even the Baptists say amen. Why can't you say? Are you with me? I love that. I love that. Okay. So, and when he says you go away, then these guys do something really stupid. Who? The Philistines. And what do? So the Philistines had stopped up all the wells which his father's servants had dug in the days of Abraham, his father, and they had filled the earth, filled it with the earth. So now that's the condition. So Isaac says, okay, let's leave. Now I preach. This is the background. Are you okay? Now we start getting into it to get to preach. I'm excited right now. So Isaac obeys the king and he leaves and he goes a distance. And then when he comes to a place where he thinks, oh, we are by ourselves, there's no Philistines, nothing. So he tells these guys, okay, dig up a well, guys. And so they're digging and they hit water. And at that time, the Philistines somehow got the word that they had struck water. They come to them and have a fight. They said, this well is our well because it's on our land. Are you with me? I'll actually say the exact quote so that you know. And so Isaac began to dig wells of water, and he called them names. And now Isaac's servants dug in the valley and found a well of running water there. But the herdsmen of Gerar quarreled with Isaac's herdsmen, saying, this water is ours. Say this with me. This water is ours. This water is ours. So they started to quarrel. And Isaac, you know, when he heard of it, he said, okay, we'll call this well Isaac. Isaac means well of quarrel. So what is it that you have that there are people taking an offense with that and saying, this water, that's mine. Are you with me? Amen? Like, for instance, if you have a neighbor and the neighbor walks the dog and comes onto your land, on your lawn, and it does this little thing there, and it's not one time, every day. He takes the thing and he comes there and the dog likes your patch of lawn and it does this little thing there. And you say to him, get your dog off my lawn. This is my lawn. Hello, don't you say that? But that guy purposely comes because he wants to irritate you because your lawn is really nice and not like his. Are you with me? Are you with me? So we, in daily life, in daily grind of life, we have something that people are jealous. Are you with me? Amen? I mean, long, long time ago, somebody wanted to give me a BMW. I said, no, I will lose all my support if I drive that one. Even though you gave it to me for free and it's all right. But if I drive that one, the first people in YWAM will say, hey, what's going on? So I don't want to contend with that. So I called it Isaac. Well, of course, why should I use something? And why should I drink from that water? You see, when you say this is our water, it's called entitlement. It's called rights. My right. Are you with me? And spirit of contention emanates from or gets fuel from rights. It's my right. What's up with you? You know, of course, you don't do that. You're very decent American people. Hey, I think you're crossing the line here. Right? Hello? If you have rights, and what do you think America is founded on? Rights. We pride ourselves in rights. And if that rights is removed, you get angry. Yes? Hello? Okay, I'm American too, so I'm just saying. I've come from the other side of the world, and I know what rights are. So are you listening to me? There it's much different understanding. What's yours is theirs too. Is somebody listening to me? Amen? Rights. My goodness, you get so upset if somebody takes a pencil from your desk. My pencil! You should ask my permission. Really? I mean, I was sitting there. I just needed to write something. Here, take your pencil. And then what do you do next day? Shave off at the back and write your name on it. I mean, we have contentions in YWAM. I don't know about you guys in your house. We label everything in the fridge. And if anybody touches that, that's mine. Why are you touching it? I was hungry, and you're a Christian. You should allow it. Yes? No? Hello? And we're Christians. So what if somebody took a little jelly off your bottle? So what if they took one piece of pizza from your box that you labeled very well in three colors? So what? Why did you get upset? You're drinking from the well of Isaac. When you drink from your well of Isaac, you become quarrelsome. That is what you call rights. Somebody listening to me. It's about rights. You give up your rights, you will be a happy person. Honestly. I mean, Jesus gave up all his rights. He laid aside his majesty and was born in a stable, not in a palace. And then that little boy, I mean, Christmas cards are so beautiful. No, unto us a child is born and a halo around Mary. Mary's thinking, I don't want these stupid shepherds as visitors to me. I don't want anybody to come. I already had a hard labor. Doesn't want anybody. But then we have shepherds there and a little twinkle there. And we think it's all good. I've never been pregnant, but you can ask any person who's gone through natural labor. They don't want any visitors much more. Even their own husbands. Get out of here. Come tomorrow. Come next week. Are you listening to me? Amen? Amen? Yet, you see, here was Jesus in that beautiful Christmas car. Do you know, Jesus could have easily told Mary, you know, where I come from, I don't need you to nurse me. All I can do is, and I'll be filled. Are you with me? Can you imagine Jesus could have said to his mother, where I come from, you don't need to potty train me. I can do it without you. As a baby. He's divine, right? Hello? But he, like you and me, had to go through all the identification. He also had to be potty trained. He also had to be nursed. He also had to be changed. Hello? He gave up his right. He was King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. Tens and thousands and hundreds of thousands of angels were worshiping him. And yet he comes here, gave up his right. You know, he had no money. He died a pauper. He didn't have money for his own burial. And he had to, some African guy had to come and give some money to buy a tomb for him. Can you imagine that? This is the King of Kings. Had no money. He had given up nothing there. Zero. But he had something ahead of him that he knew where he was going. Amen? This is our journey here. How long will we live? 60, 40, 60, 70, 80, 90, 100. Okay, break the record. 180 years. I mean, the Bible allots 70 years for a human life on this planet. I am 70. As soon as I completed 70, every hour after that is grace. I'm living on grace, not on reserve fuel, on grace, total. Amen? I don't know how long I have on this planet, but if I have those rights and clam onto all that, I will be contentious with anybody trying to take my bank account away. Are you with me? Yes. I'll be contentious with any government agency trying to scam me or skim my retirement. For that matter, Youth with a Mission, where I don't have any retirement. For real. But we get upset with what we have, right? Amen? But if you just simply say, God, this is Abraham. At one time, he was the richest man on the planet. He said, I leave it like this. He wants, he takes. If he wants to keep, I keep. But it's not glued to my hand. Are you with me? Amen? So, Isaac says, okay, let's leave this well. We call this Isaac. And now he goes way far away. And there he digs well. And when he hits water, as soon as he hits water, again these guys come. And this time they said, this land is ours. Hello, are you with me? This land is ours. And he looks at them, Isaac, and he says, okay, I'm going to call that land, that well, Sitna. Sitna means enmity. And enmity comes when you become territorial. That's why this is the border. In some countries, you cross that border, you get shot. Are you with me? Because this is territorial. We can become very territorial. When I first came to America about 40 years ago, I couldn't understand. When I used to go into some people's bathrooms, there were two sinks. And I'm thinking, why do they need two sinks? There are only two people living here. And in India, we have one sink and 18 people use it. And I'm thinking, did they make a mistake? I did not understand this at all. And I had a few more encounters like that in California, which is another country. And then I figured it out. Because on one side, there was all the makeup set. On the other side, all the shaving kit. So, oh, this is the guy and this is the woman. And she knows the moment some beard falls into her side. The architects thought through a clever idea. His closet, her closet. So there is no contention. Why are you in my closet? That's none of your business. This is my closet. You can't come here. Are you with me? Separate bathrooms now. I mean, separate toilet bowls now. Can you imagine? That's happening in Madison. Before, Madison used to pride itself, one bathroom, three bedrooms. Those houses. Are you with me? But now, they're having more and more. Why? Because they don't want contention. My territory, my bathroom, my closet, my sink. Or vanity, whatever you call that. Is somebody listening to me? Mine. Mine, mine, mine. You know, there's that Finding Nemo. Mine, 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 mine. It's all about mine, 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 mine. My territory. You cross that territory. I mean, when my wife was really well, She knew exactly where things were in the cabinets, in the kitchen cabinets. And I would move something and I would forget where I took it from, so I put it back in another cabinet. And she would know. And she would know. And she said, that's my cabinet. This is how it should be. I mean, yes, she is very organized. She's OCD borderline. You know. Are you with me? My cabinet, your. But when it comes to my office, every week she'll come and arrange it. And I'm thinking, where did I keep that paper? I kept the paper. I know exactly where it is. I call it organized chaos. I know exactly where I keep. And now my wife comes and arranges it because it looks nicer. But it caused stress. I said, this is my table. What are you doing here? She says, if visitors come, what did they think of you? I said, I don't care. Their impression only lasts for about half an hour, 45 minutes. After that, they still listen to me when I preach or teach. Are you with me? What about you guys? Do you have territory? Are you territorial in your family? Is that territory trying a kind of causing enmity, that you want to kill that person? Especially siblings, you know, have you had siblings? So, you're annoying. Why are you in my family? Did they not tell you you're adopted? Hello? I mean, siblings can have intense fights over a little thing. He ate my candy. So why did you keep it there for him to be tempted, right? My candy. Is somebody listening to me? She's smiling. Maybe that's happened there. Hello, do you have a sibling? Two. Oh, she now has to contend with two. Amen. Mine. Territorial. So he says, leave it alone. So rights and territorial gives you fuel. You know, I'm so glad that Craig is not here. He asked me to speak for 40 minutes. I don't know how many minutes I have left. I'm Indian. I can speak till 5 hours. No, no. What time do you close? Generally, what time do you close? 11:15, 1:05. Oh, I have to 11:15. That's good. 15 minutes. He's not here, so it's okay. Is that all right? Are you enjoying this?
Yeah.
So wait. So Isaac says, this is not happening. And so he leaves Sitna and he walks and he goes up here and he digs a well and they hit water. And he says, wait, don't do anything yet. And he waits and nobody comes. And he calls that well Rehoboth. Rehoboth means spaciousness. God brought him, knowing that this is a gift, he gave him spaciousness. There are times when you and I look for a little extra space, not necessarily in your room size or in your house size or in the lot that you have, but that you have space to breathe. Because all the time you are tired with the bombardments of people and the people exacting on your limited time that you have. Are you with me? Hello? I wish I had some space. Maybe that's why Craig went for a vacation. Guys, give him some space, guys. Come on, give Craig and Jill. They serve you guys so well. But no, we have to. Since you're a pastor, we pay you. So you do this. No, 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 no. you don't pay him. If you had that kind of attitude, you are so, so wrong. Because it's God who does that for him. You may contribute to it, but that doesn't give you the right to say you should do this. I know of many churches. I have spoken in over 120 denominations around the world. I've been to 70 countries. I see, I pay, so the pastor has to do what I tell him to do. That's not right. But real space is, here is New Crossings Church, and there is this well. And Craig says, drink from it. Because it gives you space. It gives you the freedom. It gives you the empowerment to do what God has called you to do. Is somebody listening to me? Perhaps you've come out, you're a transplant. You've come from another church or somewhere. You come with that baggage because there was contention. And you were part in the middle of that contention. And you said, I want to go somewhere else where I can have space. Well, welcome to New Crossing. This is, I know him well, very well. He is a pastor who believes in you being empowered, in you having space. Is somebody listening to me? Say Sam.
Sam.
No, you need to say Sam.
Sam.
This is good stuff. Yeah, I'm an Indian. I need that encouragement. This is one area that you guys need to be trained in. Good stuff, Sam. Keep it going. Amen. If you didn't think it was good stuff for me when I was reading the scriptures. Are you with me? Rehoboth. A place where God has made room for you. Even in small places, there is room for you. Is somebody listening to me? Even in a small church, it has room for you. Is somebody listening to me? You could go to a large church, you would be a statistics.
I'm one of the 2,500 members.
But here you're seen. Here you're heard. Not only seen, but also heard. And here you also have space to grow spiritually, emotionally. The well-being is here. This small church with a well called Rehoboth. You're in the right place, guys. Actually, many times, my wife and I wanted to sign up to be part of New Crossing because I know their hearts making room for you. Amen? I've been in large churches, there's no room for you. I mean, not the present church, but another church. I used to preach very regularly. Suddenly, there was no room because they had their own preaching pastors, this pastor, that pastor. That was it. No room. But here there is room. Rehoboth. God has made room for me. Say this with me. God has made room for me. And that too in a famine, in dryness. This morning, if any one of you are going through any form of dryness, any kind of dryness, a season, this is the church where you drink from. Are you with me? So there is an escape from the world of contention. If you drink from the well of quarrel, it alters your attitude. When you drink from the well of enmity, it makes you build walls so that nobody can come through and you become isolated by yourself. Which of these do you want? And yet we drink from these two wells. Are you with me? Amen? I was talking about my wife with a kitchen cabinet. Let me tell you a little story about the quarrel part. Is that okay or no? You know, my marriage is an arranged marriage, so we never dated. We don't know what it meant even, what it means. You know, are you with me? So we would have in our home many couples that would come, and they would be, you know, beaming, and they would say, we just came from a date, and we thought we'll come and visit you guys for free Indian food. And of course, in an Indian house, you'll always have food. Always. We always cook extra. I don't know why, but we do it. It's traditional. It's how we were brought up. And then one day I told my wife, I said, sweetheart, these natives talk about dating. So we should try this out. Let's go for a date. So then I've researched and wondered what happens in a date. They always choose a nice, expensive restaurant, dim light, sometimes candles, very expensive restaurant. So I said, okay, let's go. So my wife and I went to this thing, this restaurant, sat down. She sat at that side, I sat this side, and the guy comes with a big menu, and first he gives it to her. In India, they always give it to men, but here they give it to a woman. And they gave me one, and we sat down, and we looked at it, and we said, okay, she wanted something, I wanted something. And everything was going on. We gave our orders, and we were looking. And then I didn't know what to say. So I wanted to break the ice, and she didn't say anything either. I said, sweetheart, you look so beautiful. And she said, you're a liar. I said, what? What? I'm telling you. She said, when was the last time you told me this? I said, ouch, wrong button. Then I said, after a while, I said, okay, let's do some redemption here. I have to have a recovery from this wrong button. Sweetheart, I love you. Really? What was that about this morning? What happened this morning? I totally forgot. It's just that I forgot to keep a promise. If you love me, you'll keep the promise, right? So you're saying you love me and you never... I said, sweetheart, that happened at 9 o'clock in the morning. Today it's now 8 p.m. I thought you forgave. Everything was over. But why do you remember history from 1963? Are you with me? Some of us have history of some people's sins of omission. They forgot to do it. And our date was not going anywhere. And then the bill came. It was huge. And as YWAMers, it takes you 6 months to recover that kind of bill. Are you with me? And we came home. And that food was a little bit. Because these fine dining places, they give you a little bit with a big plate. Amen? So I go home and I cook up something. And we had a blast at home. I cooked something that night, and we had a blast. It was very good. So I said, sweetheart, this didn't go well. We must practice this. Maybe we should do this another time. And so we did two or three dates like that. And this one date, we went to a Middle Eastern restaurant. And we loved the atmosphere, the food, and everything. I even did a Bollywood dance when she came out of State Street, that restaurant. And so I was dancing, and she would say, stop it, you're embarrassing me. I knew she liked it secretly, so I went around her and danced. Who in State Street, who's watching? Who cares what you do even? And she was really upset, lovingly upset, not mad upset. Are you with me? And then we even had ice cream that day. It was so good. And I got into the car, and we were coming home. the car, we were just into our driveway. I pressed the button, the garage door opened. I don't know what I said. I had no idea what I said. Suddenly. I mean, some women have this weapon called silent treatment. They don't talk to you. And I'm going for the next 3 hours like a puppy dog. What did I do? What did I do? What did I do? Tell me. At least I would know. Please tell me. What did I do? No, she wouldn't. And I went into the basement. I closed the door and went down into the basement. Nobody was there. I said, what's the problem with you, woman? Bad thing to say. I said, Lord, I did everything right. What did I say? She wouldn't say. She wouldn't tell me. But I drank from the well of quarrel. And I went to quarrel with her. I said, we had a great time. You brushed it all off just like that. In just one sentence, or what did I say? I don't know. She said, the Holy Spirit will tell you. Oh my goodness, I don't like those kinds of words. I had to figure out now. Anyway, long story short, why do we quarrel? Even if I had offended somebody, I don't have to give in to that. I still can continue loving on her, but I escalated it by quarreling. Hello? Because on my side, I think I did everything right. What I don't know is not my problem. And that's why I fought. If you tell me, then I might resolve. A right to know. You don't have to know. Just don't drink from that well. Is somebody listening to me? You don't have to drink from there either. My territory, my space. In those days, we used to have an app called MySpace.com, you know. Just like Facebook, we had MySpace those days. Anyway, very quickly. It's 11:15. The worship is getting ready. Please don't leave. Just stay with me. I want to finish up with something beautiful. Is that okay or no? So now after this, he goes another place, further up on the hill, and he digs a well. And water is there. Are you with me? And while he's digging, he hears of three people coming to him. Word comes to him, and he comes there. And who comes? The king, the commander-in-chief of his army, and a mutual friend. And Isaac actually has really harsh words. He says, why do you come to see me? You hate me. He said, no. We have come here to make peace with you, that you will not attack us, because you have become more powerful than us. Why did the king bring these two? Because if the king violated, then the commander-in-chief will enforce the king to say, you can't do this. The mutual friend will speak and say, you are crossing the line, because this is the dotted line that you signed on. But in those days, there's no dotted lines, but it was word of honor. Is somebody listening to me? Amen? Amen. Made peace with the enemies. If you don't give yourself to the spirit of contention, even your enemies will come to you and make peace. The very enemy that told you to get out, the very enemy that gave you grief, the very enemy that spoke all manner of evil will come back to you someday in God's timing and make peace. And then he says, okay, they had a blast, they had a great meal, and they left. In the morning, he comes back to this new well, and he calls this Sheba, which means well of promise. Today, that's called Barsheba, well of seven promises. Are you with me? Sheba. What's my point here? Ask me, what's my point? Because you asked, I will tell you. Sheba. Do you have a well of Sheba in your house first? That was a personal well for him. Because in a world that is contentious, you have to remember the promises of God has made to you. Are you with me? How often do you take your whole family to the well of Sheba? How often do you have devotions with your family at that well, the well of promise? Because the promises of God are yea and amen, right? Hello? Amen? I believe God wants to release to you. But God doesn't say, yeah, I promise, but I will. He didn't say, I'll do it for you tomorrow. But he will do it. Because he gave you the promise. How often do you take your sons or daughters to that well when they have issues and problems in their workspace or in school or whatever arena? You come to the well and says, you know, drink from this well. You'll be fine. Amen. He built that in the enemy territory, the well of promise. I believe today, this morning, God is speaking to some of you. Because I never planned on speaking this. I had actually another plan to do an experiment if he was here. But he is not here, so now this is the word of the Lord, in my opinion. Are you with me? I believe God has spoken to some of you. Maybe you have twisted and turned on your bed, wondering how this is going to resolve. Maybe they're great Christians. But today God is saying, come to the well of promise. Church is Rehoboth. Home is Sheba. Are you with me? Here God has made room for you, but at home you go back to the promises of God. That will give you endurance during famine. Amen? Many people give up because they don't have endurance. And you get endurance by drinking from well of Sheba. Somebody listening to me. Say, Sam, this is good stuff. Where do you get all this stuff from? Because people have given me a lot of grief. Are you with me? You learn from your own griefs, from your own mistakes. And then you see redemption of it from the scripture. Belong to a beautiful church like this where you have room, the space. And then go home and build another well, the well of promise, Sheba. That's where you get your endurance from. Amen? God bless you. I turn it over back to the MC to do whatever you wanted. But when he was here, I would have yelled at you and had you kneel down and all that stuff.